How did he embrace Islam? Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha was greatly concerned about his brother Abu Darda. So he one day goes to visit him. Ummu Darda, her name was Khayra radiallahu anha, but she was known by her title Ummu Darda. Abdullah bin Rawaha asked her concerning his whereabouts. So she said, obviously, you know he'll be gone to his store. Anyway, Abdullah bin Rawaha came in, and it was normal that he would very often visit the home of Abu Darda. So she didn't mind. She was busy with her errands. And he went into his idol room, the room of Abu Darda, where he contained and kept his idols. And he started crushing and striking them with an axe. And Ummu Darda just hears what's going on. And Abdullah bin Rawaha was just reciting these words, Ala kullu ma yud'a ma'allahi batilu. Everything else that is prayed to and worshipped other than Allah is falsehood. When Ummu Darda realized what Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu had just done and carried out, she was shocked and petrified about the reaction of her husband. Abdullah bin Rawaha left from there because that was his plan. Now, obviously, he learned this from the Quran Kareem, where Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam was strategizing on how to instill the understanding into people that Allah alone does, and it's not idolatry or the worship of idols that can help people in any way. وَتَاللَّهِ لَأَكِيدَنَّ أَصْنَامَكُمْ بَعْدَ أَن تُوَلُّوا مُدْبِرِينَ. By Allah, I'm going to make a plan against your idols after you turn away for your festival. And this was the plan Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam carried out to make people realize. And when they returned, at one point they actually started realizing. So this was the intention of Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu. He wanted his close friend to realize that this is incorrect. Life is so short, we'll die at any time. He doesn't want his brother to die without iman. This was a close relationship they shared. And when this happened, Abdullah bin Rawaha went away, but his plan was for the realization to dawn upon his brother Abu Darda. When Hazrat Abu Darda returns, he finds his wife just outside in the veranda or outside the home, crying and weeping. So he asks her, what had happened? So she just mentioned, your brother Abdullah bin Rawaha, this is what he did. Anyway, when Abu Darda went in and he found his idols crushed and crumbled to pieces. At first, his first reaction was, he went into a fit of rage, and he wanted to take revenge for his idol. But just then, Allahu Akbar, the realization dawned upon him, that you know what? If there was goodness in these idols, they should have at least defended themselves. He immediately goes to Abdullah bin Rawaha. He says, take me to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Hazrat Abu Darda embraces Islam. So interestingly, from his relatives and family members, he was the last to embrace Islam. From his tribesmen, فَكَانَ آخِرَ أَهْلِ حَيِّهِ إِسْلَامًا. So one of the last of the people of the Medinan societies to embrace Islam was Hazrat Abu Darda. And subhanallah, how Allah gives hidayah. And now the truth had dawned upon him, and iman had permeated his heart, and he was so convinced on Islam that he regretted every day of kufr and shirk, and he regretted the opportunities he had lost out on. But what was he to do now? To catch up with the others. So he would exert himself and strive and work hard to make up for his time that he had lost. Now he wanted to compete with the others and supersede. That's where there's amazing reports. So many historical reports where he said, I was busy with trade, and then I tried to accumulate both trade and ibadah, but I prioritized ibadah. He says, thereafter I left my trade and indulged and involved myself fully in Allah's worship, devoting myself to Allah's deen, and I turned away from tijara. Now obviously, this was a very high level of Hazrat Abu Darda, but for a person to actually join and combine between the both, it is permissible. But Hazrat Abu Darda wanted to do what was best for his akhirah. So he says, فَاخْتَرْتُ الْعِبَادَةِ وَتَرَكْتُ التِّجَارَةِ. I wanted to prioritize my afterlife, and I turned away from tijara fully. He says, I didn't need any more. I wanted to devote myself for Allah and for the afterlife. Where we have the real investment, the best investment, the investment that has the greatest of returns.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa sallallahu ala al-Nabi al-Ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Allahu Akbar. The Sahabi we discuss is known as Hakimu hadihi al-Ummah. That was his appellation basically. The wise man of this Ummah. And subhanallah, he was the leading Qari, teacher of the Quranic Kareem, in the lands of Sham, Dimashq to be specific. He narrated for this Ummah over 179 ahadith. He's one of the senior scholars of this Ummah. He surpassed so many. And subhanallah, his wisdom and his words are filled with guidance through and through. Allah give us tawfiq to benefit from his amazing life. His name, interestingly, was Uwaymir, the diminutive of Amir. So Uwaymir bin Amir bin Malik bin Zayd, and he hails from the Khazraj tribe. And towards the end, bin Khazraj bin Harith bin Khazraj, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Interestingly, his mother's name is also known as Muhibbah or Mahabbah. Muhibbah bint Waqid. And he's famously known as Abu Darda, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Al-Dhahabi in his Sir wa'alam al-Nubala mentions that he's that Sahabi who would learn very often by the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Lam yaqra ala ghayri. He learned and recited the Quran to the Prophet and learned it from the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not from anyone else, subhanallah. That's why he was so advanced and senior when it came to the Quran Kareem. But interestingly, prior to the days of his Islam, it took him some time to realize the truth. He was a prominent businessman. It's reported that he was a perfume merchant, well-to-do, one of the senior members of the Medinan society. He would wake up early, prepare himself, go to his store and buy and sell goods. One day he donned himself with his lovely garment. He goes to his store and he sees that the streets of Medina Munawwara was filled with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sahaba, the followers of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were returning from Badr. And he then notices a large exodus of captives. Anyway, he moves aside. He then approaches a young man from the Khazraj clan and he asks him, tell me, where's Abdullah bin Rawaha? So the young Khazraji youngster says, you know, he fought very bravely, valiantly in this expedition. But how is he? Has he returned? Is he fine? Yes, yes. Wa'ada saliman ghaniman. He's returned successfully and safely. And then Abu Darda calmed down. The young man didn't find Abu Darda's question strange, because it was known, the bond and the relationship between Abdullah bin Rawaha and Abu Darda radiyallahu anhum was deep and known in the Medinan society. They were closer than brothers. And when the message of Islam came, Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha embraced Islam, but Abu Darda totally refused. But subhanallah, Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha continued making great efforts upon his friend, his bosom buddy, his bosom friend, Abu Darda. He would visit him. He would explain the beauty of Islam to him. He would exhort him to embrace Islam. And Abdullah bin Rawaha would feel sad over the days that would go by without Abu Darda embracing Islam.
Allahu Akbar, how he reached such a level? Because he strove. He used to always say, as he used to enter the masjid, he used to read, and he used to teach, and then he used to say, Al-Qari'u wal-Mustami'u sharikani fil ajr. The one that reads and the one that listens attentively, both share the great rewards that we acquire for serving the Qur'an.
It's mentioned in Siyar wa'alam al-Nubala that Hazrat Abu Darda said, Lo unsitu ayah. If I forget one verse and I don't have anybody to teach it to me, except one who's very far away in another far off town, illa rajulan bi barqil ghimad, I would exert myself in traveling to him to learn that ayah of the Quran Kareem. This was his thirst to learn. Allah give us all that love to acquire the knowledge of Allah's deen.
He loved those learning the hadith and the deen. He would actually say to them, مرحباً بأحبتي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Welcome to the beloveds of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. When narrating the hadith, his wife Hazrat Darda said that he would smile. So I asked him one day, what if people, you know, despise you for that or mock you because you're narrating a hadith and you're smiling? He said, I heard Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrate hadith and he would smile when narrating the hadith. يُحَدِّثُ حَدِيثًا إِلَّا تَبَسَّمَ فِي حَدِيثِهِ. Subhanallah, he narrates so many ahadith, more than 179 ahadith. There's a report of Hazrat Abu Darda from so many, let's narrate something of his hadith he heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "There's nothing weightier in the scales of the believer on Judgment Day than good character." ما من شيء أثقل في ميزان المؤمن يوم القيامة من حسن الخلق. وإن الله يبغض الفاحش البذيء. Allah despises those who are vulgar and disrespectful in their words and action. Allah save us. There's an amazing du'a Hazrat Abu Darda narrates, which is in Tirmidhi as well. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the dua of Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam was, O Allah, I ask you for thy love and the love of those who love you. And Allah, I ask you for those actions, the tawfiq of those actions that will grant me and reach me to the level of your love. And O Allah, make your love more beloved to me than my own life and soul, and more beloved to me than my family, and more beloved to me than cool, cold water. Meaning something so pleasurable and needed and enjoyable. Make your love more beloved than all of that. Subhanallah. And his amazing way in correcting people was so amazing. He one day sees youth mocking, despising a young man. And so Hazrat Abu Darda advised them to speak nicely to him. And then he spoke to him nicely in a manner that the youngster was prepared to change. But then they asked him, don't you hate him? He says, no, I don't hate him. I detest his action. As for himself, he's my brother. And then he said, when your brother perpetrates some crime or makes a mistake, help him against shaitan and not shaitan against him. Subhanallah. How wise in bringing a change into others was the method and the strategy of Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. He would even say that if a friend or brother of yours has changed in his way and has become, you know, wrongful, sinful and crooked in his actions, don't denounce him. Because no matter who your friend is, he'll sometimes go crooked, but other times will come straight. So this was his words about having hope in people. Allah give us tawfiq to emulate the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhu. So he tried to catch up for what he had lost out on with exertant efforts. And he would combine the efforts of the night and the day to catch up with the others. He devoted himself totally and he studied and he learned like one thirsty person coming to a sweet pond. And he started memorizing the Quran, learning the Quran, going deep into its understanding. And he would not give any time for anything else as far as the world is concerned. He says, today I wouldn't even like me to have my store right by the door of the masjid without missing a salah with congregation and acquiring so much of profit. He says, you might say, why? He says, I'm not saying Allah made bay'ah, commerce and business haram, but I want to be from those who business nor trade keep them away from Allah's deen and Allah's remembrance. So obviously what we learn is even one who does business can also be from that category, but Hazrat Abu Darda wants to be from the top of the list, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Not only was he a man of knowledge and great effort, he was also, ascetic. He had actually turned away and denounced the world totally. This was his level. He sufficed himself with very little. Even the garments he wore was very, very simple thereafter. One day, years later, a group of people were traveling and it was a cold night and he served them, but he didn't have much of or many blankets to help them or to grant them. So one of them actually went to him and asked, do you have anything to cover? Abu Darda radiallahu anhu didn't even have that. So then the man was actually shocked. He says, don't you have anything in your home? He says, you know, there's another home there. And we continuously send everything there. And That's where our returns are definite and forever. Then he says to the man, have you understood? He says, yes, yes, I have understood. This was the level of the iman and the sacrifice of Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He wasn't there for Badr, but interestingly, there's reports that mention in Uhud, when Muslims were facing a severe setback after the position was neglected, because there was a misunderstanding that the expedition has now been completed, and Khalid bin Walid then finds this gap and attacks the Muslims from the rear. Allahu Akbar. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu to resolve that issue, and he strove, and he, alhamdulillah, he sacrificed greatly. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, defend those on the mountain, and he went, and he managed. Alhamdulillah, he became a means of protecting many Muslims. But yes, many had passed on and became shaheed. There's a report that even mentions, what a horseman is Uwaymir. Oh, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, what a man is Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. As far as his ilm and knowledge is concerned, subhanallah, he used to spend all his time learning Allah's deen. And even when it came to him traveling to other areas, teaching Allah's deen, subhanallah, he was ready. He was ready to go. He never wanted to have a position of governorship, but he always wanted to teach Allah's deen. Just before the time of, before the expedition of Khandaq, alhamdulillah, Hazrat Salman Farisi was liberated. And he was also involved in the Muslims defending Medina Munawwara. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam created a pact of brotherhood between Abu Darda and Salman radiallahu anhuma. And subhanallah, this brotherhood stood through the test of time. They were so close, Allahu Akbar. They always cared for each other, encouraged each other, wrote to each other. Hazrat Salman and Abu Darda, the two very, very wise men. When Islam was spreading greatly in the lands of Sham, Hazrat Muawiyah wrote to Hazrat Umar, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu sent Hazrat Abu Darda. There's a report that says Hazrat Umar wanted Abu Darda to be the governor. So Hazrat Abu Darda responded, as for going to teach Allah's deen, striving for Allah, inviting to Allah, and prepared to go, not to take a position of leadership. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu agreed and accepted that at least go and do that, and you will support and guide those who are in leadership positions. There's another report that Hazrat Muawiyah wrote to him, to Hazrat Umar, asking for people to teach the deen of Allah. So Muhammad bin Ka'b al-Quradi says, Allahu Akbar, from these Sahaba, Hazrat Mu'ad, Ubadah bin Samit, Ubay bin Ka'b, Abu Ayyub, Abu Darda, they were the senior leading teachers of the Quran al-Kareem during Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu's khilafah. So when Yazid bin Abi Sufyan, Hazrat Yazid radiallahu anhu wrote to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu that people are coming into Islam in abundance, and there's a great need for those to teach them Quran and Deen. And you may yu'allimuhum al-Quran wa yufaqihuhum. Help me, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, with those who will teach them. Hazrat Umar called these five and said that the people of Sham are in need of teachers of the Quran and the Deen. Help me. May Allah reward you all. I need three. If you all want, you can cast lots. Otherwise, three can get ready. They said there's no need to cast lots. They responded, Hazrat Abu Ayyub is of senior age. He's very old, as well as Ubay ibn Ka'b, who's not well. We are ready. Hazrat Mu'ad, Hazrat Ubadah, Hazrat Abu Darda, radiallahu anhum. Hazrat Umar instructs them, start in Hims. You'll find different kinds of people there. Those who learn quickly, those who take time. Assist the situation, start all of you all there. When things get underway, then one should stay there. The second should go to Dimashq, and the third to Palestine. They started there at Hims. When they established a system there, Hazrat Ubadah bin Samit continued there. Hazrat Abu Darda went to Dimashq, and Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal went to Palestine, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal sometime later passed away in Palestine, and Hazrat Ubadah continued there. But Hazrat Abu Darda remained teaching in Dimashq for the rest of his life, striving for Allah and teaching for Allah. He taught many, many of the tabi'een, the book of Allah and the sunnah mubarakah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The very, very senior qurra of that time were all the students of Hazrat Abu Darda and these sahaba kiram radiyallahu anhum.